Won't you guys pray for me? And I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and be with us tonight. I pray that you use my words to touch somebody tonight, God. Father, I pray that it doesn't come back void. Holy Spirit, just calm my heart, calm my mind, calm my mouth, and lead me in what you would have me say. Amen. All right, for some of you that don't know me, if this is your first time here, I'm Alpha. Hi, Betty. For some of you that do know me, but not well, you probably just know me as the redneck that plays guitar up here every Saturday. Some of you know me for some years, know me a little longer, Pete and Reagan, when I used to be a turd. Yep. But I don't know if anybody here has really known my whole story. So tonight, I'm going to share it with you. So, first thing I want to do is I'm going to open up with Scripture. I want to read Romans 8, 28 through 30. I like the sound of pages turning. It's a lot better than having phones do it for you. All right, Romans 8, 28 through 30. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. This story is a story of, probably a lot of our stories, of rags to riches. And I got notes. This ain't notes, this is just an itinerary, a timeline of my life. Because if I see a shiny butterfly, I'm going to lose my train of thought. So my name is Alpha Lamont McPherson, Jr. Senior. Junior's back there. I was born March 11th, 1989. Now, within the first 6 months of me being a baby, I was taken from my, well, I'm not going to call her my mother. I'm going to call her the woman who gave birth to me. She often did something, went to prison. And me and a couple of my older sisters went to foster care. Now, I don't know if any of you know what foster care is or how it runs. It's for some kids, it's not a good thing. Luckily, for all things, worked for good, the Lord had his hand over me, and about when I was about 1 year old, my aunt and my uncle took me and my two sisters in and raised us. Now, mom and dad, they weren't very young. My mom and dad were well above age to have kids. My mom, she grew up in a Pentecostal church, always prayed for us. She was old school. She was born April 2nd, 1935. My dad was born October 6, 1940. I'm born in 89, so, you know, there's a pretty big age gap there raising a couple kids. I can't say I was ever the best of kids. But, so, I remember as a kid growing up, mom taking us to church. Mom, all these people are crazy. They're jumping, hooping, hollering, yelling. I don't want to be here no more. Now, Dad wasn't the same. Nowhere near did he ever go to church. Did he ever read the Bible? Was he ever trying to go to church? My dad was more of a yes sir, no sir. He was the firstborn out of 12 kids. He was born in Eclipse, West Virginia, on Bradshaw Mountain. By the time he was 13, he had a full-time job working in the coal mines. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed. You got to get to work, boy. Did two tours in Nam. So growing up, yes sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And unfortunately for my dad, with Nam, he got half of his middle finger shot off. But you ever been hit with just the nub of a knuckle? I have a lot. My dad didn't really ever spank us, but I knew if I did something wrong, because he'd numb me right in the middle of my back. Now, I grew up in a small town in Illinois. Beckemeyer, Illinois. One cop town. One cop town. Got post office. Got a gas station. Got a laundromat. Three taverns. Well, I mean, the only place I've ever seen a lawnmower poker run. They had them annually. They still do. Now, growing up in a town like that, me and my friends, we'd always get into mischief. By the time I was about 11, 12 years old, we were already driving under the influence. And that was common. Where I'm from, that's what everybody did. I mean, you grew up, you'd take a truck, go on the back roads. What everybody did. So, growing up, that's what I did. Now, when I was younger, I was about seven, 8 years old. My mom, she was older, shorter, heavier set. And it got to the point where she had to walk with a walker. Well, one day she fell, never walked again. So when I was about 8 years old, she was put in a nursing home. Now, my dad being who he was, he went seeing her 8 days a week. He was there every day. And if he couldn't be there, something had to have happened, the reason why dad didn't go see mom. And there's often I went and seen mom. And mom, granted being she was a Christian woman and prayed for us, she was also naive, always sending money off to them preachers on TV and doing that kind of stuff. But I'll never remember a time believing in her not praying. She always prayed. When we ate, when I got there, when we left, and dad just kind of sat there quiet, just like, when's she going to be done praying? Don't ask me, Dad. She's the one praying. So I know that, fast forward to now, that a lot of my life, I believe, has to do with the prayer of that woman. So I'll tell you now, if you're praying for somebody and you think it's not working, God answers prayer. He just may not do it in your timing. He does it in his timing. Because his timing is perfect, yours is not. So anywho, I'm a kid, one cop town, doing dumb stuff with my friends. Driving when I shouldn't be, doing things I shouldn't be doing. I ended up getting in a little bit of trouble. I was 13 the first time I got arrested. And I remember that night very vividly. Me and my friends stole a car. And, you know, where we live, there's nothing to do but drive back roads. So we thought it'd be a fun idea. We're going to take this car and do donuts in other people's yards. Well, you ever done a donut in a redneck's yard? They don't like that stuff. So we went on high-speed chase from this redneck, this guy in this truck, and we did donut in his yard, and ended up at the chicken ranch. Car broke down at the chicken ranch. We all just take off. We all ended up getting caught because we're dumb, thinking we can hide, or they're not going to catch us because we think we're smarter than they are, obviously. So I remember this probably about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm covered in chicken poo. Sitting in the back of this cop car, handcuffed. I can hear over the police scanner. And my dad just put out a missing police report on me. Can I stay with you guys? Please? Guys, just throw me in jail. I'll take that. That drive home, my dad didn't say a word. My dad was a yeller. He'd scream. He got his point across all the time. And I thought I was going to die. Luckily, I didn't. So after that, I just thought, you know, well, my dad being my dad, he told me, you want to be a man? You can handle it like a man. Anytime I got in trouble, I ain't taking you to your appointments. I ain't taking you to see your PO. I ain't taking you to community service. You better figure it out. So I had to. So I thought, well, I'm going to do whatever I want then. So I did. And I got in a lot of trouble in like the next year. Led me to be in, they got that juvie center. I don't know if it's still there in Belleville. Landed me in that place when I was, just before 14-ish. But when I was in the year 2004, I would have been 14, 15 years old. You know, my dad, I can count on one hand how many times I see my dad cry. His brother's funeral, his mama's funeral, and the morning of May 29th, 2004. I remember it because, I guess I was either out of school or was on the weekend. But my dad, I'm in my room sleeping. My dad's yelling for me, Bud. That's my dad used to call me Bud. yelling for me. So I pop out of bed, walk out the room, and I see him. He don't even have a shirt on yet. No socks, no shoes, no shirt. Wrestling. We got to call about mom. Because the last 5 years of her life, she spent living in a nursing home. Well, she couldn't really walk, and they tried to fix her leg, and it went wrong. And that skin graft after infection, it just bad health took her. And that morning, that was the third time in my life I seen that man cry. And when, you know, he said, something's wrong with mom, we got to go to the hospital now. And this was a somewhat common occurrence. Mom would try to get another skin graft to fix her leg. She would get infected, she'd go to the hospital. Something of another, she was in the hospital 2, 3, 4 times a year easily, and she'd be there for a while. So we went and seen mom. By the time we got there, she was gone. Now after that, me and my dad, he kind of reminds me of Pete. He didn't really say much, but when he spoke, it meant something. He didn't really ever, I can probably count on 2 hands how many times I can remember him telling me, I love you. But I knew he did. He didn't have to say it. But when he was a kid, that's the way it was. And growing up, spending time together meant we were either, I was in the garage with him getting yelled at because I was holding the flashlight wrong, or we were night fishing. Me and my dad loved to night fish. We'd go, there's times we'd leave, we'd get there about 6 o'clock at night, and we'd fish almost till noon the next day. And just tight line, none of that bass fishing. I'm not trying to sit here and exercise. I'm trying to throw it out there, leave it, and relax. Hair dangle, dang a lang lang. All right, I get him? I didn't get him. And after that happened, we never fished again. And still to this day, I haven't really fished that much. Dad changed a little bit, and slowly but surely, it took him. Because on, what time is it? I got time. Because on October 1st, 2004, same year, 4 months later, it was about 9 o'clock at night, I hear a thud. What was that? I know Dad was just in the shower. I wonder if he dropped something. So it's just, and at this time, you know, my sisters, they were turds. So they would go live with their boyfriend and come back home. Find a new boyfriend, go with him, come back home. Me and my dad, it was usually always just me and Dad. Me, Dad, and the dog. So it was just me, Dad, and the dog that night. And I hear it go in his room, and I find him face down, laying on the floor. So I call 911. I do my best. I roll him over, give him CPR. They come, take him to the hospital. They tried to revive him at the hospital, and he didn't make it. Now, that point in my life led me on a course of events that I'm not going to say were horrible, because if it wouldn't happen, I don't know if I'd be standing here today. But I definitely learned from it. Yeah, at that time, I was a 15-year-old kid with money and a house and an addiction to anything and everything I get my hands on. Now, at that time, my sisters moved into the house we were living in. At that house, it was a pole barn when we got it. It was like the old man who owned it had a shop on one side, and his wife had like a beauty parlor on the other side. And me and my dad, my uncle, my dad, my uncle, and me just watching them, remodeled it. It was a nice house at the end. And I don't know, I had a chip on my shoulder from what happened. I remember vividly the day Dad died. Outside the hospital, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, screaming at God, like, you did this. Like it was God's fault. So I wanted nothing to do with God. But I wanted everything to do with anything I could get my hands on. So over the course of the next year, I squandered every penny, mine and both my sisters, on anything I could get my hands on. Because when they moved in, I told them, I said, this isn't our house. This is my house. Y'all left. Y'all weren't here when mom died. Y'all weren't here when dad died. I was. So it's either my way or y'all can. So it was. It was my way. Every weekend, my sister with her 2 kids would leave. And I would have her go get me some stuff I couldn't buy by myself and have a party every weekend. Now that led to a point where I kept getting in trouble back home. And the judge got tired of seeing me. But the judge at one point was sympathetic over what had happened in my life. It's not an excuse. I was using it as an excuse to do whatever I wanted. So the judge gave me about a week to move. I had to leave. Either leave the state or we're throwing you away and we're going to charge you as an adult. Cool. I'm out. So me, my sister, and her two kids and her boyfriend, we moved to old Troy, Illinois. And I continued to live the life that I wanted to live. Now about 4 months after we moved here, my sister fell in love with somebody back in Illinois. So she up and left. Me, her kids, her boyfriend. So I'm just a 16-year-old in Troy with an addiction, nowhere to go, just living life, what are they saying now? Out there living my best life. That's what I was trying to do. Not a great life to have. But during that time, behind that house that I lived at in 240 West College in Troy, directly behind it, there's a guy that lived back there. That I didn't know he lived back there until one day he's banging on my door because he wants to beat up the guy I'm living with because he done took something from the girl he was seeing. And everybody's in addiction. Everybody's got something they're doing. Well, we ended up becoming good friends. Go to his house, and we just party, party, party. Months later, he ends up getting his own place. And he's like, hey, you come live with me. We'll split the bills. You pay some, I pay some, and we can just do whatever we want and can't nobody tell us nothing. Because I'm living with my sister's ex-boyfriend. He's living with his parents, and neither one of them want us doing anything together or even hanging out because we're just making poor decisions. So I'm like, me being me, I like the idea at that time of I'm going to go party and do whatever I want, and nobody's going to tell me what to do except for maybe this guy, but I really don't care about him. But that's just still way too much responsibility for me. No. I can't go get a job. You know, I got to go get a job. I'm going to go get a job. No, I'm not getting a job. So you go do that by yourself. I'm going to go be a turd elsewhere. So I did. And it was literally from couch to couch to couch to couch to couch until I ran out. I burned every bridge I had. Every friend I had. I was like, I'll just come over for a couple days. 2 months later, like, yeah, you got to go, dude. Like, you're eating up all the food. You're taking all the stuff, like, literally, where'd this go? Where'd that go? I don't know. Maybe they took it. It wasn't me. Me being an addict, doing what I had to do to get my fix. So, I was living with these people, and they were actually the ones getting evicted. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll find somewhere else to go. And I ran into that same, and his name's Jeremy Barnhouse. I ran into that guy, Jeremy Barnhouse, who lived behind me, who, you know, we used to party back in the day together. Ran into him. I'm like, hey, dude, that offer still stand? Like, I need somewhere to live, and, you know, you still drink? You still what? You want to hang out again? He's like, oh, man, yeah, you can come move in with me, but there's going to be some rules. Well, okay, what kind of rules? Well, you got to go to church every day, every Sunday. You can't drink, can't smoke, can't do none of that. I'm like, who are you? Where'd Jeremy go? Jeremy started going to church. Lord got a hold of him, and he listened. So I remember that day, I'm like, man, me thinking me, I'm like a criminal. I'll say yes. I'll do what he says to do. And mind you, this guy, he was born without a sense of smell. 100%. He didn't know he was born without a sense of smell until he went to school, and he was smelling, and he got it wrong. Every time he got it wrong. Born without a sense of smell, so I'm like, man, he go to bed at night, and I could smoke and do whatever in my bedroom. He would never know because he can't smell it. Sure, cool, dude, I'll go to church. I'll quit doing everything I got to do. I just need somewhere to go. So I went and moved in with him. Moved in with him, and it took, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks going to church. Lord punched me in the face. Where are you going? What are you doing? So, and this is when I ended up getting saved. Now, over the course of the next 4 years, I got plugged into a church, same church, got plugged into a band. That's where I learned how to play guitar. And I was doing good. And I was following the Lord. But I was kind of like that seed that sprouted up too quick. Didn't have no roots. Just wanted to go, 100%. So it was about four years in. And after this, I was in the church for 4 years, was in the band for about 3 years, and a buddy of mine opened a ministry in Troy on Main Street. And we taught discipleship training classes. That lasted for about 2 years. Well, I let a little leaven into my life. Just a little bit of sin, God. A little bit of sin. I ain't gonna hurt nobody. I'll ask for forgiveness tomorrow. Well, if you guys know any addicts, like I used to be, not just a little bit. My buddy Jeremy, he can't drink. For him, one's too many, 1,000 isn't enough. For addicts, that's how it is. So I let a little bit of sin in, a little bit of leaven. Next thing I know, literally, if I'm standing at the front door of this ministry that I helped start, I got about a 20-second walk, 30-second walk to that door over there that walks right into that tavern. I left the ministry I helped start to go get a job at that tavern. Guess what happened? Anybody guess what happened? Right back into addiction I went for the next 3 years of my life working at that bar. Now, I'm glad it happened, because if it wouldn't happen, I wouldn't have those little two boys. Because in these 3 years is where I met their mother. Now, towards the end of me working at this place, I was heavy, very, very heavy into addiction. Not a good guy, not a nice guy whatsoever. I would have robbed every one of you. Not thought twice about it, would have robbed you. Would have convinced you with somebody else and helped you go look for it. 100%. That was me. That was the guy I was wanting to be. So on May 22nd, 2013, I met the boys' mother. May 23rd, 2013, we lived together. Both of us in addiction. So pretty good combination. So we lived there for about 6-7 more months. We ended up getting kicked out. I moved in with my sister, Now, mind you, I'm moving to Illinois with my sister. I'm still on paper in Missouri. While I'm in Illinois, catch another case. They take me back to Missouri. I'm not in Missouri 2 weeks. Catch two more cases. Bond out both times. It's about 5 felonies in 1 month I caught. So I'm like, I got this bright idea. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to steal somebody's car, and we're just going to leave. And everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be A-OK. And us being in addiction, sounds good to me. Let's go. So that's what we did. We took a friend of hers' car. We took their car and went on the run. She's on the run because they're trying to send her to prison. I'm on the run from bonding out once in Illinois and twice in Missouri. Let's just take off. So we did. But it never goes the way you plan. So for the next 10 months, we go on a road trip, right? Now, this road trip is, I will definitely say that over this road trip, God definitely had his hand on me. On this road trip, we left Missouri and ended up in Florida, ended up in Ohio. The said stolen car, I got the guy's license, like his actual license, his Social Security number, Social Security card, birth certificate, his car. So I ended up totaling this car in Van Wert, Ohio, hit telephone pole, doing about 40. Car can't come back stolen because I'm the owner of the car. I'm supposed to go to jail because I have a suspended driver's license. Instead of going to jail, we go to the hospital. Got out of the hospital, ended up hooking up with the church. Church take care of us 2-3 weeks, puts us up in the hotel room. Me being me, I'm still thinking of my next fix and how I'm going to get myself out of the situation. Church puts us on a bus from Fort Wayne, Indiana, St. Louis, Missouri. I'm not going back to Missouri. I'm wanted in Missouri. So we got a layover in Indianapolis. We get off the bus in Indianapolis, never get back on. Right, we're just going to have to figure it out. And we did. We were there for about 1.5 weeks. Long story short, we ended up stealing another car about 1 o'clock in the afternoon from Indianapolis, Indiana. Got caught with that one in Daytona Beach, Florida, or Miami Beach, Florida. We were in Miami maybe 2-3 days. Got caught. Both went to jail. She went to jail, I went to jail, and we both went to jail under different names, different Social Security numbers, same fingerprints. 30 days later, we both walk out of the jail at the same exact time. So we get out of the jail, end up being, we lived there for about 4 months in Miami. I had a full-time job. We ended up getting an apartment. It was good. Until I got a phone call stating that, you know, my bounty hunter and whoever he had working for him, not too far behind us, somehow they found us. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, well, my prince went through the database, got back to them. Now they're coming down here to find us. So we take off. We get a ride from Miami, Florida to Daytona Beach. We end up being there for about a week, sleeping in an abandoned hotel. One bright morning, we wake up, and there's a lady out there just sweeping. And it's under construction. She's out there sweeping by the pool. My criminal mind is like, she's wearing scrubs, no pockets, I don't see a purse, where's her keys? Walk around the building, get in her car, purse is sitting right here, keys sitting right on top. Get in the car, start it, take off. We had that one for maybe a month. We took it all the way from Daytona Beach, Florida, until we got caught here in Columbia, Missouri. Felony traffic stop, 3 state troopers. And at that time is when me and her running from the law was over. Because when they caught me, they found my license, in my pocket when they pulled me out of the car. Is this you? No, not me, somebody else. It was me. End up going to jail. Now at this time, I was still in my addiction. She was sober because she was pregnant with AJ for about 3 or 4 weeks. So we go to jail. And it was at this time when I went to jail that I thought I was going to get back in my faith, but it ended up being, long story short, jailhouse faith, because while I was there, I was reading, I was praying, and I got out December 11th, 2014. January 1st, 2015, here come AJ. I got a baby on the way. I got nowhere to go. Well, I got some good Christian friends, though, that still love me and still want to help me if I try to help myself. So I did. I ended up moving with a buddy of mine and his wife and their family. I got a job being a carpenter. Buddy was picking me up every day, taking me to work. His wife would watch my brand new son while I went and worked. About a month and a half in, get my own place. It was about February. Probably January, middle of February, beginning of March, got my own place. Go ahead. So, I get my own place. She gets out of prison March 31st. Less than 9 months later, December 21st, 2015, here comes Xander, number two. And at this point, we're borderline sober. Not doing anything crazy, but we're still feeding into an addiction. I got 2 kids. I'm going to work every day. I'm paying all my bills. I'm only just doing a little bit, right? Not going to church, though. Not in the Word of God. Not listening to God. But, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, right? A man's supposed to get up, go to work, pay his bills, take care of his family. And that's what I did. Until after Xander was born, we made this bright idea to try and, just a little bit. We're just going to do some of that hard stuff just once. Twice. Every other weekend. Every weekend. Well, it's Monday now, and I'm tired, so back to the addiction life we went. So we ended up becoming addicts again with 2 little kids. And I'm like, I got to get away from it. So we had, let's move. We're going to move. We're going to move to New York, and all of our troubles are going to go away. So we did. Uprooted, took both those little boys, moved to New York. Guess what? My troubles didn't go nowhere. They followed me, surprisingly, right? So, living in New York, still addicts, get in trouble. She gets in trouble. So now we got to come back to Missouri yet once again. So, we come back to Missouri. We're here maybe 2 months. November 27th, 2017. Police are trying to get her. I stick her on a plane and I send her to Florida. That night, I get pulled over in Wright City for not using a turn signal. But I'm on supervision. Let me search your car. The drugs all in the car. Guess what happens to me? I go back to jail. Guess what happened to my kids? Well, they go to state. Ain't nobody here going to take care of them. So while I was in jail that time, that's when I decided that I was going to give my life to Jesus and just do it his way and stop trying to do it my way. So I did. And me knowing me, in the back of my head, I'm like, this all sounds good until I hit the bricks. till the rubber meets the road, till I get out, when I'm forced to face my temptations and my trials and fight them or give in to them. December 17th, 2017, their mother went to jail. I was released April 16th, 2018. At that time, I would spend the next 4 years fighting for my sons. May 30th of 2018, I walked into Misfits for the first time. I don't think anyone liked me. Amen. I was a knucklehead, chip on my shoulder. It's everybody else's fault. It's not mine. They kicked my door in. My sister called the cops. It wasn't me. I was in jail. I had nothing to do with it. Dumb. Blaming everybody else but myself. But in the back of my head, I was going to fight for my kids. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That this book, this right here, this isn't just a biography of Jesus. These words are promises. Everything in this book is a promise. And I've always taken everything in this book as a promise. I just never leaned on it. I leaned on myself, leaned on my strength. I'm a big bad guy. I can do whatever I want and get away with it. It didn't turn out that way. So I started coming to Misfits. Probably the first 2-3 months, I came because I had to go to a recovery meeting. So I go to a recovery meeting. Baton. My name's Alpha. Didn't say anything. Got a hard heart. Hard heart against everybody and God still. Start coming to church. Always, even like now, still. Always sat in the back. Sat in the back row, right underneath that window. But I started to allow God into my heart. Not just into my life, but into my heart, into my soul, into my spirit. Started reading, started praying. Trying to get active in the church, trying to get to know people. But at this point, they're like, hey, you're a turd, so. But we love you from over here. Jesus loves you from over there, but we're over here. But eventually, they warmed up to me because I'm a nice guy. No, not because I'm a nice guy. Because I wanted to follow Jesus, and they were already following Jesus. Amen. So, I'm going to go to Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. Here we go. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Oh, it's up there. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. At that time, my heart was as hard as a rock. I had more at that time. Well, Trump was in office, and I had more walls up than he wanted to build. I didn't want to meet nobody, see nobody, but God had a different plan. Oh, thank you, sir. So I was becoming more involved with the church, trying to do more. 2019, the first Saturday after Faith Fest, sitting in the back there. At that time, there was two people up here playing worship music. They were doing adequate enough. But at this time, nobody in the church knows that really I grew up in the church, but my mom, when I was a kid, I grew up in church. And I got a biblical background and actually played in a worship band before because I didn't want nobody to know that. I just wanted to be the guy that was quiet sitting in the back of the church. I didn't want to be up here. I don't want to be up here now. But when God calls us to do stuff, we have to do it. So I got convicted that night. Like God punched me in the face convicted. Because why aren't you up there playing? You know how to play. Go help. So I opened my big fat mouth. It's like, hey, I know how to play stuff on the guitar. Well, the only thing I've ever really played is worship music, so y'all need help? We were like, yeah, sure. I'm like, hey, darn it. So I did. So that's when I joined the worship band. All right, I'm going to go to Luke 14, 7 through 11. He told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they would choose the best places for themselves. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't recline at the best place because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then in humiliation you will proceed to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and recline in the lowest place so that when the one who invites you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You will then be honored in the presence of all other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. All I ever wanted to do was sit in the back of the church. It's all, God, just leave me back here, I'm cool. He had another story for me. So, now I'm up here. Purpose. So over the next few years, I grew in the church, and I was fighting for my sons. Mind you, this whole time I'm still fighting for my kids from the state. And it ends up going, fighting them from the state to fighting them from the people who had them, who now have temporary custody of them. I'm not fighting the state anymore. I'm directly trying to fight these people. And they're telling me, well, we're not trying to keep your kids from you. You sure aren't trying to let me see them. So I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'll take my kids whenever you want. So I ended up hiring an attorney when I could and fighting for my kids. If anybody here knows me, I'm hard-headed. And I don't give up. I will never give up, especially on them kids. I knew the day that I got arrested that night that I had a fight coming for me and them boys. And there was times in those years, even up to almost the very end, I wanted so bad just for it to be over with. Just give up. They're not going to give them to me. I'm a single dad living by myself. They're with some great people. Who am I? They're just going to keep them. I'm never going to win. I wasn't leaning on the promises of God. I'm going to go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 15, 17. No, wait, 15, 7. But as for you, be strong. Do not be discouraged, for your work has a reward. When I say these are promises, that right there, that's a promise. You work, and you keep going, you don't give up. God will give you that reward. But I said many a time, and I always believed it, that I would get my sons back. In my heart, I believed it. But there would be days where I believed I would never win. I would never win. I wanted to give up. Didn't want to come to church. Didn't want to see any church people, just wanted to sit at home and wallow in the mire. But I didn't. I kept fighting. I kept working at it. You guys know the end result. There's one of them right there. So, I persevered even though I had trials and temptations to give up. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, He will never give us anything. Anything. And it doesn't say, and that's where people say, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not true. That's not biblical. It doesn't say that. Bible says He will give me a way of escape. It doesn't say He won't give me more than I can handle because I can't handle squat. My story done proves that. That's not biblical saying, God will never give you more than you can handle. No, you will get more than you can handle. So you have to lean on Him. And when you lean on Him, you will find that way of escape. So, I kept fighting. I didn't give up. Sometime about, May 1st, May 2nd, 2022, fighting for my sons, and these people are wanting to have a mediation. We won't sit down and talk to you about some stuff. No. I already told my lawyer, and we're at the point where the only time, I want to talk to you in court, in front of a judge. I won't talk to you people no more. Well, we need to talk. No, I'm not talking to you. All right, you want to talk? Come out here to my attorney's office. We'll talk. Oh, no, we're not going to pay our attorney to come out there and see you. Well, I guess we're not meeting, are we? So, about May 1st, May 2nd, I got an email from my attorney stating that May 28th, 2022, my sons have to live with me. Like, I don't have a choice. Okay, I'm down. And that's how God works. Like, nowhere near did I think that I was going to get an email saying that in less than a month, you have to have your kids. This is 4 years I've been fighting. All of a sudden, now I have to have them? So May 28th, 2022 is the day they came home. I want to read you Matthew 7:7. You keep asking, it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. I told God and I prayed that, God, you know in my heart, I want my sons. I, me. My flesh, I want my sons. They are my sons. But if it is in your will for them not to come home, your will be done, not mine. Now, would I have been okay with it? I don't know, because that never happened. God knew it would never happen. But I knew that in God's timing, my sons would come home, and they did. So since then, sometime later on that year, somehow I ended up becoming the worship leader of this place. I don't know how, I don't remember ever applying for that job. And then this year, July 22nd, 2023, I get an email from my attorney. The same day I get paperwork in the mail, trying to divorce her mother, trying to get custody of the kids. Paperwork came in the mail. Divorce is final. You got everything, she got nothing. I got full legal and physical custody of both them boys. You know what she got? Her old last name. Only thing she walked away with. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my story, I pray, helped one of you tonight. But the great thing about my story, it's my story. You have a story. Mary, you have a story. Lynn, you have a story. Josh, you have a story. Even Danny has a story. Actually, he's got a lot of stories because he never stops talking. Zach's got a story. Jeanette's got a story. Jamie in the back, she's got tons of stories. We each have our own story. Pretend this is a pen. Are you the one that's going to try and write your story for you? Or are you going to let God write it? And you just kind of like following in footsteps. Like, where am I going now, God? Because if it was last night, and here lately with all these storms, my power's been out more than once. And when it's dark, you know what I got to do? Come here, boy. Hold my hand. You hold his, you hold mine, and you follow me. I'll lead you where you're supposed to go. When it's dark outside, and you don't know what to do, you trying to fight your way through it, or are you letting the Father lead you where you need to go? Because he will. It could be black as night out there. As long as you're holding the Father's hand, he's going to lead you exactly where you need to go. And it's going to be a safe walk. You're not going to have to worry, just like my sons. They know. My sons know. If you hold my hand, I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to protect you and I'm going to take care of you. No matter where we go. My last scripture I want to read is Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you.
It's death and taxes. Outside of that, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what he's going to have me do. But I can tell you that I'm going to do. knocked to the head more than once. Some people can hear it and receive it. I wasn't one of those. Well, I guess that's all I got for you guys tonight. Thanks for listening. I don't know if it was a great story.